November 26, 2010, it's a Watt from Pedro show. Thank you. Watt from Pedro show, November 26th. Started off with John Coltrane with Eric Dolphy in 1961 live. I want to talk about you. Street Water by Conversation after that. We have some guests, Brother Matt.
Yeah, full house. Welcome.
You want to introduce everyone?
Let's see. Talia's here.
Hi.
It's been a long time. Coco's here.
Good to be here.
Julie. Welcome. Marty Lyons.
Hey.
And Richard fucking Bonnie. Welcome. Post-Thanksgiving
Talia
celebration.
Talia used to be on all the time when we first started.
Yeah.
She was a DJ, right?
Spun cool little sets. Groovy tunes, yeah.
And she used to be DJ Talia.
Now I'm just Talia.
Now you're just Talia. Richard Bonnie was on the show once before. I think he came
twice.
To my pad. Twice?
Twice. Once at your place.
Once here in the Love Grotto.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
And, but first time for Coco.
Oh, no, I
no,
was
no, she's been here before. First yeah. time for Julie, first time for Marty.
First time for Marty.
Yeah, that's right. I remember you on Coco. I'm sorry.
I didn't say much, though.
No.
I think I had one thing, but everybody laughed, so it was good.
I brought somebody.
Matt.
Oh, yeah, Matt, my fiancé.
That's right, Matt.
Yeah, she's at home today.
And Julie's first time.
Hello.
Hey, Julie.
Thank you.
And Marty's first time. Now, Marty goes way back, though, with me. And Richard. Richard goes back the furthest. We were washing pots and pans at the San Pedro Peninsula Hospital. At the hospital.
At the hospital.
Chowing before we dumped them into the sink. Because it come from the cooks. This was a... We didn't chow off the plates from the floor. That got just scraped. But if it was from the cooks, we chowed.
Yeah.
So...
It took care of
it. It was very econo, as far as having to buy chow. But then their wage was kind of economy. I think it was $1.20 an hour.
Yeah, something like that. $1.30, I think. When I moved to like $1.50, I thought I was living large.
Yeah.
I bought a bicycle.
We were teenagers.
Yeah.
Now, Marty comes in the Minuteman days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's some pictures in the paper that goes inside the Punchline record. That was Marty Lyons' creation.
That was some type. It was.
Well, you put it together.
Yeah.
Appropriated from an art class.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Balance harmony.
He took some pictures of us at a prac, and then put the spiel from the class you had, and that became the insert for the Punchline.
That's right.
And that's all that was on it, so it didn't. It was kind of mysterious and abstract.
Yeah, it's pretty hideous.
How did we meet you?
Well,
I can't remember. I'm stupid.
My recollections go back to always with Joe Biza, because he was a part of.
Maybe that's what it was. We played that backyard party.
Long time.
Think it was that
when punk rock just started happening.
Were you there, Richard, when we did that party in Wemos?
In Wilmington, yeah.
80,
that's where I met Joe.
It's before we played like a club. We never even played a club yet.
He was living below you guys, that apartment.
Well, not me, D. Boone.
Because
D. Boone lived next door to me on Gaffey between 22nd and 23rd. And we found, you ever hear this story? Where I found the, every day, we could, at this by this time, I was still doing Haas with Richard, but I was also doing the French cooking.
Yeah.
Jacques in the Box.
Yeah.
He still there. On Gaffey and Six.
Yeah, on Gaffey too. We used to get free fries.
The guy knew Logo. Well, we were doing graveyards in 11 to 7, me and him. And we'd come home and there'd be a big giant grasshopper every time. And we'd, you know, send it to the next plane. And, whoa, there's another one here. I said, D-Blue, how can there always be a grasshopper in here? And there's this panel in the roof, in the ceiling, overhead. I said, let me look in there. So I stand on his little, there was little bungalows. It's where the reactionary pictures got taken.
Yeah.
On the, in the alley there. So anyway, they came furnished. And there was a little light table, so I stand up on it, and you could just push this panel out, and I get in there about my shoulders up, and it's just totally dark. I said, D-Boone, I can't see. Why don't you take that lampshade off and pass me up the lamp? Turn it on. So he passes up to me. I bring it up through the hall with me. And it's like 10 million locusts are in there. All their fucking red eyes were like an inch from my face. And I screamed and I threw the lamp and fell off the fucking thing. Luckily, but it popped a knee. I think we better turn the master down a little bit. And D-Boone, you know, was very brave, strong man, but he did have a phobia about... He told me when he was a boy there was a mayonnaise jar that it emptied that somebody put a bunch of spiders in. He'd come across and opened it up and stuck his arm in there and all them spiders crawled on his arm. So he got like a phobia about bugs and man, it just fucking freaked him out. All of a sudden, woo, the hammer comes out the nails. Woo, he just pounds his nails up that panel thing. He moves the next day. I'm here in Tutu-filled Island there another couple years. I didn't have them in my bungalow wasn't connected to his. I had roaches. So I always had the wadded up newspaper right by the hatch. So every time I'd come in, it'd be like half hour of slapping me. Squirting me.
Never could win. That's how we learned to slap in the bitch.
Never could win. It'd always be fun. But anyway, we put together the Minuteman, and we did. First paid gig was the Starwood, but that was like our 35th gig. And I remember there was a party. And maybe that's how it happened, because from that pad, D-Boone moved to 19th and Pacific in the alley there. And living below him was Joe Biza and Gary Jacoby. And we would see Joe Biza at the gigs. He really stuck out, you know. We recognized him, but we didn't really know who he was. But D-Boone got to meet him by... I talked to him at gigs and shit, but I didn't, because everybody talked with each other, but I didn't really know him. But he got to know him.
Yeah, he was one of the few musicians who would, people at gigs who would stand in front of the mosh pit just to look at the musicians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't throwing elbows. He was just...
No. Well, in those days, it was still pogoing. It wasn't hardcore.
It wasn't hardcore. There wasn't no swirling.
It was more up and down than left and right.
I'll tell you though, man.
But he would be up there studying. I know. That's when he started learning guitar. He's 27 years old. I want to play guitar. He was a painter, drawer. Anyway, there was a buddy in Wemoss. Maybe it was Victor and Lena's pad. I don't know. Yeah. Remember them? Lena played bass in the peer group. So maybe that's where we met you.
When
that's early on, like one of the first few Minutemen games.
I got vivid memories of
I remember there was giant like candles on big sticks that stuck in the ground, and one dude was chasing another dude around with that candle. You remember that?
No.
That dude was like wearing cowboy boots and shorts and shit. I remember.
But we were waiting in line one time at the smokestack, waiting to watch a flag show, you know, along with, but there's a bunch of punk rock. And then the bouncers were long hair, puka shell wearing dudes, right?
What a
combo. And so we're waiting in line, and I'm standing with Joe and Rachel, and we're waiting, and Jack Brewer. Jack Brewer was the person we just met. And then here's this big, beefy guy with this shirt that's spray paint on the back, and, you know, wait about 30 people ahead of us, making his way up. He seemed to know people in line. I just kept my eye on, like, wow, this guy looks different. He's a big old dude. And he came to Joe. Joe says, hey, D, what's up? Hey. And that's how... He says, these guys are in a band. You should come see them. In fact, they're going to have a barbecue. And it could have been a couple of weeks before. That's my.
But that barbecue was the thing. It was the gig.
Yeah, and that's where I seen
you. I remember guys. Now.
And Richie. I mean, I didn't know.
You don't remember that dude with the big candle?
What the fuck? You would remember that?
I don't know. It was a big candle like
40
a
years later.
Banana, like a giant banana, like they had a fucking stick. I remember some dude I didn't know who was who.
Yeah, that one doesn't stick out. We're always having barbecues.
Yeah, but this was in Wemoss.
Yeah, but I remember that.
And it was one of the first Minuteman gigs.
Yeah.
So anyway. Back to the practice pad. This is what we shared with Black Flag and Old Torrance on Cabrillo. It was a former dentist office. And we shared a prac pad with them, use their amps and stuff. Just drive on over till the police kicked us out.
You were so generous with me to join.
You came on over and took the shots. Most days, Minutemen would not take shots. We thought it was like bourgeois. And then we figured out, well, it was probably more bourgeois not to take shots. And I think that the first guy to take shots of us was Frank from No Magazine, and by this Red Man thing, right? Yeah. Maybe less than a block from
here. Yeah,
right? Kind of fraternity. Yeah. I don't think any Red Men belong to it. I think it was all white men, but the name is Red Man. Dirk had a birthday party there. I'd never been in that place, but I think that's where our first pictures were taken. Like, we said, okay, you can take it. Marty just came to the practice pad. And, they were trippy shots, so we just used them for...
That's all front of Torrance right there.
Oh, I love that shot.
Just, well, yeah, it's nearby. There's there's a trophy shop.
Cool. Classic, yeah. Awesome.
There's a trophy shop a couple doors down. That's where that shot's from.
Look at
yeah, I used to wear army coats with no shirt. What do you think of that?
You've always had your own style.
It's my pop gave me that jacket. It was actually a Navy coat.
Where was the trophy shop?
It was like two doors down from
Old Torrance.
The dentist, former dentist office, which was the SST. I soldered a
tenor tuner. Trophy shop. Who knows?
You know what? When I was pulling all these pictures out, to
it's too fucking loud. Sang in the weekend, brother, man.
That's
too loud,
man.
You gotta get by on the mic here.
Oh yeah.
They don't hear you.
Well, when you and I worked on this website that has these pictures.
Yeah. No, don't put it there, because put it in the middle, because everybody will want to be able to talk.
My guy that I learned all my photography from, Dean Takuno. This guy was just an important part of my life. Still is. It's like a brother. He goes, I was telling about this. We're talking over the phone on the internet. And he's talking about their faces. He says, this is the key shot. He says, look at the... And he doesn't know any of you guys. But he says, look at the guy... Over here. He's pointing to George.
Yeah.
He says, look at that. I said, yeah, it's George, the drummer. He says,
he's wearing the jacket I gave him. My mom gave me that fucking jacket. And I said, I can't wear this thing.
He says,
I gave it to George Ewart.
He says, look at him. He says, he's looking for the next beer. He needs to get out of this picture. He says, he doesn't want to be a part of this. And he says, look at the guy in the middle. I said, that's my, again, Dean really wasn't aware of, you know, all this. He said, look at the guy in the middle. He says, he's looking beyond the horizon. He's looking past your shoulder. He's looking to the future. Mm-hmm. And he says, and the only guy that's looking at us is this guy, Dennis.
Yeah.
It got as quiet as it is right now. On the phone, I was just going, man.
I'm trying to look at the camera.
Cool metaphors. I just did that so much. Anyway, it's for your
I don't know if George wanted
to bring the room down with that.
I probably did. We wore that coat for many years until somebody stole it at a gig. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that coat. It's weird. I see old pictures of the Minutemen, and I remember.
Well, my mom bought me that coat. Maybe because Ramones wore it or something.
George,
it was in the 70s. And I said, Mom, I can't wear this thing. But George actually did ride motorcycles.
Yeah. He always had motorcycles. So
yeah.
He was working on them.
End of Hey Taxi days, too.
Yeah,
this is that's right after the Hey Taxi days. Yeah, I gave it to him in the 70s still. I never wore it.
Yeah.
I wore it once or twice, and I was like, God, I can't wear this thing.
I pulled out a picture the other day of my apartment on 11th Street, and Georgie's in it with Jack Brewer's sister, Teresa, who I was dating, and he had that reggae kind of knit cap, the yellow one.
Yeah.
You had it for years. I go, I remember that day.
He's on the back of Freeway Tyler.
Yeah.
Let's hear some music.
Three nuns smoking cigars and playing strip keno. The sisters all possess horrific birthmarks that resemble Shecky Green. The nuns grow tired of the game. They whip out nunchucks, throwing stars, and cyanide-laced kosher dills, and begin an elaborate, intricately choreographed, highly fluid circular square dance in slow motion. A sort of grand sumo prancing through molasses. A parametrical pinwheel promenade on Percodan. All at once, the nuns cease their movements, drop their equipment, and run headfirst toward a central point. They collide violently, precisely. Each nun absorbs the blow equally at an identical spot on her skull. The collision is an utterly chance, yet geometrically perfect event. Suddenly, strange things begin to happen. The earth begins to shake. The trees swirl like merry-go-rounds. Sparrows begin to attend the U.S. Army School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia, to receive instruction in surveillance, interrogation, torture, intimidation, and assassination. Meanwhile, the nuns' scalps have fused together. The sturdiest of the three slowly pulls her head back, raising the other two into the air, creating a beautiful black and white Y. Also meanwhile, a class of first graders on a field trip in a nearby meadow spot the nuns and run to their teacher, informing her that they found the next letter on their Find the Alphabet on the License Plates game, which they played on the bus ride over. The teacher removes her hairpins, shakes out her glorious auburn mane, points delicately toward the nuns, and shouts valiantly, "The flawless execution of a Lakota Serbo-Croatian hybrid dialect found only in the southeastern suburbs of mid-1980s Cleveland. A time in which men were men, and women were women, and women were men, and men were men and women. And children were egg beaters. And men and women were also egg beaters, but a different kind of streamlined, kinetic, Accionesque, futurist sort of egg beater. Seize the moment, young days of the Microsoft generation. Oh, little cyberlings, this is your moment of supreme cosmic redemption." Whereupon the children, whooping and hollering, screaming and salivating, tear off toward the nuns like amped up little psychotic lemmings, descending in a horde upon the nuns with all their terrible savage Oshkosh might, leaping and tearing at their throats. The nuns run as feet, sister swings, her mighty head, neck, shoulders about, scattering children like sweat off a boxer's hammered face, but to no avail. There are simply too many children.
Here, when you disturb an injured grave, you will know the fear.
Watt for Pedro show. Started off with My Three Nuns by the Fuxedos, Hee Haw Horror by Rover's Pinky, Fire vs. Ice by Truman's Water, Tornado, oh yeah, this is new stuff from Go Team, new stuff from Deerhoof, Behold a Marvel in the Darkness. None of the Deerhoofs now live in San Francisco, Richard.
Oh, I know. I saw them their last gig.
And I said that because Richard has not been in Pedro for how many years now?
It'll be four coming up.
Pretty near 4 years.
Yeah.
He born here and raised, but 4 years ago, bailed.
North. You can take the boy out of Pedro, but you can't take the Pedro out of the boy.
Thank you. That is true. Lots of Pedroisms I use in San Francisco and people...
Tripping
their heads
on
heads and go, what the fuck is that all about?
But now, like, one lives in Portland, one lives in New Mexico,
one lives in New York City,
one in Tokyo.
One in Tokyo, yes. They all pretty much scattered. But they did play San Francisco not too long ago. Who did they open for? Cannot remember. They just did a show.
Oh, well, I know they got a new album and they're touring again.
Yeah. But, yeah, they did do a show.
Trippy band. I got to record with the guitar man in New Mexico. Yeah.
And me and you both saw them earlier in the year at the Fox in Oakland when you came up to see
Yoko Ono. Yeah, I went up there. I thought I'd never get to see her play. Yeah. And then I ended up
playing with her now.
And she sent me in the mail yesterday. I got a big. We took a picture in the dressing thing downstairs. This is an old theater, the Orpheum downtown, and everybody who was at the gig is in the picture.
Oh, cool.
And she, but to my love, Yoko.
Awesome.
There and sent it to me. This big, out of the blue, I got it.
Nice.
Nice lady.
She blew my mind that night.
She's 76
she
years old.
76, huh?
And much energy, much alive. I also saw her at the wedding. I saw Nels Klein and Yuka Honda get married in Fuji Chihuahua? Washi? It's about 30 or 40 miles south of Tokyo by the beach. I saw surfer dudes. Yeah, they had racks on the side of their bicycles to carry the surfboards.
Really?
Like you've seen
I had a rack on my bicycle.
Well, this is a little side man.
Oh, side, I had the back.
When you're towing, this is a little side, so it might be kind of tricky. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but they were doing it. And, she was at that thing, too. So that was neat to get that picture. But I didn't know I'd ever get to see her. I didn't know she'd play L.A. again. So I went up there.
Yeah.
Actually, it was in Oaktown.
Yeah. The old Fox.
By the way, the former mayor is now governor.
Governor again.
Again, right.
Former governor is the governor.
72 years old.
Full circle.
I guess the eBay lady couldn't buy it.
That was scary.
Thank God.
That was scary.
Was it scary?
So money doesn't buy everything.
Yeah, because, you can get cynical about that, but really? Somehow it didn't work for her.
Yeah. Yikes.
Good.
Thank God.
It's like the
other clown, too. There was another one running for Pelosi's seat with a lot of money.
Yeah. That money thing's not working anymore. Thank God. Well,
sometimes it does.
Well, people like Schwarzenegger, people like that. Remember our old mayor here, L.A.? A dollar. But my father had a saying for that. You get what you pay for. I'd rather pay somebody good money to do a good job.
Well, they already had a bunch of bucks.
What's the ego thing with...
They were saving us money. Actually, Jerry Brown, when he was in the first time, saved us money because he wouldn't live in the mansion.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He got some...
He actually got rid of it.
Apartment or a condo or something. He was living in condo. Back to the Marty Lyon story. So...
it's a pretty topic.
Yeah, well, you got into pictures.
So,
how?
Well...
Because obviously you were taking pictures before that Minutemen Prac thing.
This was, I was putting it together.
Is that your first pictures?
I'm saying months into this.
Well, it still was before.
I was just picking it up, and I was going to Long Beach State.
Oh, you took a class?
No, I didn't take any photo classes. In Long Beach State, I was taking...
Client?
Graphic design.
Nobody turned you on to it? You just got a whim?
It was one of the tools to complete projects, to do artwork.
Oh, so it was for a class.
And so, I just I just wanted to have one. I really can't pinpoint anything, you know, as to like this is why I went shopping for. But I got it, and it was just a lot of fun to do that stuff. And then right at that time, all these things were happening. You guys were coming to meet, and you guys, there's this whole new music out there.
Yeah.
I wanted to apply to do that and to bring that into, you know, the assignments that I was doing in college. And at this time when you guys were putting this together and then you guys were touring.
That's the second record, Punchline.
Yeah, I was just staying here finishing up school and stuff. But what really was a pivotal part to take the big step forward into this was 1985. My pops passed away, and then a few months later, D. Boone passed away. And then I was working as a art director, in the art director business. I was with Motor Trend magazine, and I was a pretty young guy. I was like 26 years old, and I'm in this job, going, well, I'll spend the rest of my life here and get better parking and retire, you know. But that just didn't make sense. And I thought, now's a good time.
Better parking things out of work.
It is LA.
But you know, it was kind
of... It was in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's why I got a bike.
So I thought that was a good time to get out and change things. And so... So I started just getting photo assistant gigs. Didn't know anything about it. I was picking it up as I went along. Apprenticeship, just, you know, journeyman stuff.
Yeah.
Working no way out. Ever since then, I've been looking for work.
How'd you miss? How did you meet Joe Bison?
Look, Joe Bison. How did I meet Joe Bison? My gosh, you know.
Because you're in Lameda.
That's right.
He's in Wilmington. They're not that far. I think only Harbor City in between.
Weddings. Junior high school, whatever age that is. I remember going to big, fat Mexican weddings. That's my whole background. And there was this guy that would sit on with the Garcias. Yeah. Across the hall, across the room, you know, the dance and stuff.
And
this is the 1980, 74. There's this Keith Richards looking guy with this messed up hairdo and these pinstripe, like, looking styling guy, you know.
Bison was always,
wow.
Well, he still is.
Yeah, it stood out from the crowd of, you know, the family.
He was at the gig last Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And he was
always profiling. And I was just going, whoa, interesting guy. I want to go talk to him. Yeah, he's always got that. And the moment I was like a
he's going to have surgery and, again, you know, on his arm.
Oh, really?
Because he's got this carpal. It's from years of doing the art boxing. Told me that's what did it, more than the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Fucked up. So he's already had them last year. He had the wrist ones. Now he's going to have the arm ones.
Wow. Well, that's it.
But, yeah. But anyway,
well,
the styling guy's at the wedding.
Yeah, and my mom made a very good point of saying, those are the Garcias. Don't go over there. So, of course, I went over there. You know, I wait till I can kind of go to my dad was at the bar with his other compadres and stuff. So I go over there and, you know, just kind of like just be around him. He's just an interesting looking guy, and he was not a cousin or anything. So this is like, you know, then junior high school, and then in high school, I'm in school with some of the Garcias girls, and there's some cool drawings on their book covers, you know. Whoa, that's my sister's boyfriend, Joe. Oh, that's pretty interesting. Then, Long Beach State, right out of high school, there's a pub there. And I was in one of the classes during the day with Billy from the Suburban Lawns.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, we're playing tonight at this pub. So we go on the school campus, so we go there to
that. I mean, that club, the 49er?
Nugget?
The Nugget. on campus.
It's on campus.
Yeah.
49 was on PCH or Anaheim.
So some heady times, right? Ray?
Nugget was a
buying
thing.
Pictures of beer and stuff.
You know, there a few times.
All this. I'm at the bar there when they're playing, and then Rachel comes up. Whoa, Rachel. It's my cousin. What's going on? I'm here with my boy. And bang, right from like 4 years before. That's that guy. So that's how we...
Yeah,
and then we started going to, you know, it's a very small network at that time. We're like, what's happening next weekend? You know, oh, this band's playing over there, and so that's when some of those smokestack gigs were happening. And,
yeah,
you know, or eventually we'd spend a week with
Alley Cats.
Yep, it was all word of mouth flyers.
That's how that happened.
Alley Cats were Lameda.
Yeah, Lameda. Yep.
Alley Cats. I didn't know any of those
band to us.
No, I know, and it's a small town, but still, that punk scene was so little.
Yeah,
and underground.
Narbonne.
Huh?
You went to Narbonne?
Narbonne High School. Yeah.
Gaucho.
Good times.
And the thing was just like the Packers.
Yeah.
The G,
yeah.
That's right. I didn't know that. You know, I didn't know that until like after. It's a ridiculous
time. Last week.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? They look like a high school they went to.
You were actually closer, Navy housing, to that school than Peter High. Because well, that's people, how far up Western.
My friends from Peter High get kicked out of Peter High to go to Norbonne. They have to take that bus down Western. They hate
the short bus.
Well, the public bus. That is cool. They didn't give you a ride.
Okay, more music.
Yeah.
Live from Pedro Show. That was the Green Flames with 1320. And before that, we had the Cisco Kid by Kuda. Yeah, this name. Kudoa Nova. They opened up for us in Kumamoto City in Kyushu. And it was their first gig ever. Mm. And it ain't Lowrider. Okay, Cisco Kid. Actually, it's called Lowrider, right? It's not called the Cisco Kid, even though
it's called Lowrider.
It says it in the lyric, right?
Yeah.
Pancho drink the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The song's called Cisco Kid.
Yeah, you
got, that's the name of the song.
It's not Lowrider?
No, that's a different song. I think of Lowrider.
Oh, yeah.
It's still on their greatest hits album, though.
They did have a song called The Cisco Kid.
Yeah.
But this one don't fucking sound like it, okay?
Either one of them.
Anyway, it was the first gig ever. It was a trip. They were shitting bricks.
Kids?
Yeah. And we start off with Three by The Hysterical Injury, something from England. That's the end of the first hour of Watt from Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour two. November 26, 2010. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Live from Pedro Show. Sorry to interrupt you, Marty, but I got to do this here. We started the second hour off with some bands I played with, I didn't play with on the Japan tour, but they gave me their music anyway. Fuck, I said that wrong. I didn't play with them, but after the show here, you want to hear? Yes, of course. First band was The Rice Panic with Sautaise, and then Pigs by Galega. Then Jayakin Bakimon by Mokuzo Kenchiku. And then My Identity is 99% in Cheeky by Thirsty Chords, and Angel Exists by Hamk. Those last two bands were Shikoku bands, I remember that. It was the first time I was in Atlanta. Man, I had some bitchin' hood on there. It was this pad, I couldn't believe it. It was in the alley, off the road, and hardly any sign. And you go in there, and it's like, you know, some mod, or husband, older people, and then maybe two daughters helping them out, and like this, got like a laundry basket doing the udon in, you know, soaking and washing. Shikoku, it's really big ass buckwheat kind. And man, maybe $3 a thing for all this chow. I had this stuff called Tamayama or something, where they put the egg, right, a raw egg in there, it's so hot it cooks it up. And with the kind of tempura, but fish and onigiris, these rice balls with plum in them. Man, it was a trip. You know, versus I remember after one gig, and I think it was Hiroshima, the band we're going to conk at. Here, we want to chow with you. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm not really going to chow after the gig. And they take us to this place, it was called Joyful, and it was like a Denny's. Like, I came thousands of miles to eat this shit. I didn't even order it. That was the only bunk pad I was caught. It was like, you must be joyful. But you know, I've read things about bands. If it wasn't for Burger King, I'd starve in these fucking foreign lands. You know, it's like these guys. There's a lot of good challenge.
It's like Georgie, when I live with Georgie, and he'd be all bummed out that he had to go toward England because there's nothing to eat. I go, Jesus Christ, George, you told me horse in Croatia. You can't find that to eat in England.
India chow. <Yeah.
laughs> No, but still, like, you know, for George Hurley to make a comment like that, like, I hate going to England, there's nothing to eat. George, eat anything.
Yeah, I know.
We ate alligator in fucking North Carolina one night at 3 a.m. Stuff like that. George is always looking for something weird to eat.
Yeah, Baloo.
Balut.
You know about that?
Oh, man.
Delicatessen. They take an egg and bury it for a month and let it rot.
I've heard that.
I've seen it.
Yeah. I thought that was the one with the egg with like the partially grown.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, and they bury it?
Yeah, let it rot or ferment.
Yeah. After you crack it open, there's a nice juice that you can drink.
They get the pukki susu.
Yeah. Man, an odor to it. Remember, I can't remember as well as the Last of Moses or something. There was a party.
Yeah.
And they were like betting $5 with Jesus and you get near the mouths.
I couldn't even look at it. I start gagging.
There's dudes at the Filipino festival over in the park when they do that in September selling it in a bucket.
There's a lot of cultures that, you know, this thing of fermenting, which kind of means rotten.
Yeah.
You know, what is Japanese for fire, huh? He?
Yeah, it's like in the Amazon, I drank the masata, which was a fermented yam, the jungle yam, and spit, woman's spit.
Yeah, it was women's spit, yeah.
No, it's
not. Tasty.
Okay. So, I remember when we were starting with fire hose and going up north that you had a VW bus like Georgie's.
That's right, I still do. Yeah, man, those are some good times.
And I mean, remember this when his mom made all this fried chicken and cookies.
The fried chicken, man. Let me tell you about that.
That was Sonic Youth.
The night before you guys played the
we were Sonic Youth, weren't we?
That's right.
That's the first time I ever went to the film.
I thought it was O.T. Price's in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, but with Sonic Youth.
Yeah, Saturday morning.
Slovenly Fire Hose Sonic Youth.
That Saturday, they said, you know,
Tom Watts.
I think it was you guys.
Yeah, Tom Watts.
Packed some food and went up there. Caught you guys.
And
It was like a 3 or 4 day mission for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Just for fun, man. Yeah. And I got some nice shots out of that thing. That's when I sort of knew what was going on with the shutter and the speeds and stuff. And it shows, you know, on the website, it shows like different, there's a
Progression.
Yeah.
Speaking of gigs, you guys were at the gig last week. I did the debut of the third opera at Liquid Kitty in West L.A. Everyone was there but you, Richard. All these so people.
Good. Yeah. Everyone here was but me. I was there in spirit. I got the email.
So good.
I wore djembe.
Yeah.
Everyone did.
Yeah. I got a djembe from Mikosan that was some kind of hybrid. It got plaid.
Really?
Plaid djembe.
I got my Tal Eikosan gave me in Chicago. I got it on my wall, and people go, "What's it says?" Japanese woman with glass pipe, and they go, "Is
pipe,
like, it's pipe glass."
What?
Glass pipe.
Rock in the rock.
Yeah, or what? I thought. And I go, "Wow, I guess maybe that's like maybe crack. I don't know." But I love Eikosan. Every time I see her, she gives me gifts.
Yeah, I love her.
Yes.
It's really cool where she is now. So when she has this blanket, like the corner is a hood of the Rirakuma, you know, it's got the fucking ears.
And I got one of those. She gave me those, too.
You got
one of those?
Nice.
Finally, I got one.
Did you wear
one.
It?
Huh? No, no, the bear. I got it. It's in a box.
Did you wear a panda one up there in San Francisco?
Huh?
Panda?
No. Yeah. I'm not a Dodger fan of San Francisco either.
No, but the panda thing is for China.
Yeah, that's China.
You go to Chinatowns in Japan, there's pandas everywhere.
Yeah.
Panda. Chow. They make the chow into like panda things.
Yeah, San Francisco Giants had a panda too.
I love China.
Oh, really? Maybe it's from Chinatown. Because they used to have the biggest one. I'd say New York City's now is the biggest one, though.
Chinatown? I don't know, bigger than San Francisco?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's growing and growing.
It grew. Wow, that's funny. Cause
Little Italy is like 2 or 3 blocks.
Shrunk,
now.
And Chinatown grew. New York, kind of the opposite.
Yeah, San Francisco was named Pablo.
Pablo
Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval. Yeah, the Chicano panda.
Panda name.
I was panda.
Yeah, I remember the first time I went to New York with Firehose and got to see both Little Italy and I think because we stayed with Sonics in like Lower East Side, so me and Georgie like explored around. I go, Jesus Christ, they have like Chinatown, you cross Canal Street, and there's like Little Italy, and it was just like unbelievable to me. I didn't know what to think, like it was such a huge city, you know. And then we passed Canal Street, where they made those chains, it was like the height of
Blings
coming up, and they had those links of gold. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, cable.
Yeah. The Volkswagen emblems on it. VW. It's a VW.
Mercedes.
No, this is VW. No, I can see Mercedes.
Well, Mike D used to rock one of those.
Yeah.
VW one. Econo.
Yeah.
Econo bling.
Econo bling.
So, none of you had heard it before, because it came out in Japan, so you saw it.
I heard a little bit of it when we were sailing. Yeah. Lori had it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Got it from Bob Stiers. So you heard a little bit, but you guys didn't hear it.
You gave me a copy.
So you knew it.
So. I've been listening to it a lot.
That's right, tell you.
Memorized it.
So it was a different live?
It was
more
better.
Clams.
No,
that's
it was
sure.
better. It was so much better to see it live.
Yeah, it was amazing.
To watch you guys, just because it's so complicated. There's so many changes. And
well, they had djembes, too.
Yeah, they did.
Well, Raul was rocking it with chonies again. You don't rock the djembe with chonies.
And Tom was rocking barefoot.
Yeah.
It was cold. They should have had
Yeah, he was wearing that coat at first.
Who, Tom? Or
yeah, he was wearing his big coat over the djembe.
It was cold that day. It's crazy.
Paloma
fuck, I didn't wear a coat.
Without Tony's on. Didn't have to ask him about that.
Yeah, I don't know. They were. That's why he didn't need a coat. They were all insulated.
You got pics of this or what?
I don't know. I didn't take any. I brought the camera, but I forgot to hand it to Talia.
You did, Talia?
I took some pics.
All right. I can give you my email.
Yeah,
send me these things. Post them all over the mission.
It was a great, you know, the first time a punk rock barbecue in November. They used to always be summer.
Yeah.
And so Dave Childs moved it over to this guy, and it was happening. That was much chow out front. Mm. Some. Pope was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, the Pope. Of course. I always think of the Pope.
A lot of cats from the old days was there. Yeah, Steve Reed played with Legal Weapon.
Really? Steve Reed, every time anybody from down here goes to play in San Francisco, it's always a weekend. I'm working. I could never go. But I did see Steve Reed at the Hemlock. I ran up the street in the rain. I caught like the last two or three songs of his set.
He's a great cat.
Yes.
And Lawndale played. They're back. They haven't played for years.
Lawndale's playing again.
They were good.
So, you know, I just started playing it, right? I said this is the first time. I don't think people realize it was going to be a 47-minute song. And, yeah, it was kind of a freaky thing. I just wanted to lay it on people like that. So you kind of knew,
mm-hmm.
and you knew a little. You heard on the boat. You went sailing with Skipper Joe. I'm going to do a radio show on the boat. I did it on the boat, but it was tied
idea.
Up.
That would be fun.
I want to do it while sailing. But it'd have to probably be in a cabin because of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely doable.
I'm thinking of planning a tour now for U.S. in the spring of this opera. I'm going to do it in England next week for the first time around that side, Atlantic. And, yeah, I want to do a U.S. one.
Cool.
You say you're doing South by Southwest?
That'll be part of it. But, like, the guys I tour with in Japan really are into this thing. Mm. And I said, okay, I'll figure something for you, you know, where it's not ridiculous, you're buried under some kind of thing. And I've done a couple of them, but never for my own music. But I guess I'll do it that. And that'll probably be around the beginning of it. I want to take them through the south of the U.S. Mm-hmm. I've taken them in the northeast and on the west coast. Now I want to do the south to, you know, to know the U.S. properly.
That's a great band.
Playing those parts, too. Yeah, they are, and they're great guys. Drummer's just going to have another baby, his wife. And he's a great cat. They all are. No wine and no princesses in that crew. They're all tough. They got a word there. It's gambaru. It means, let's do it. It's great. And it's not just words. They live it. Really, really happening cats. I got to record, too. You know, while I was waiting, the tour ended and Tom and Raoul came home. And I had to stay around for the wedding. You know, I was climbing Yuka Honda. So, because me putting together that 4x4, that's where they met each other. And so I was kind of like the matchmaker, but not really. I put together all kinds of things. They're usually guys, and they're not boning each other. So.
Not that you know. Usually. They are. They ain't saying.
They're also quiet, though.
Name names. Let's see.
Well, okay, I didn't show up at any of the... I wasn't asked to any of the weddings.
Right. No. Don't ask them.
Only it was legal.
Don't ask them tell shit.
And so I got to record with these guys called Wakine. We're going to play some later on, man. And it was, they bring me to this room and like 13 these young musicians come in and just start jamming for 3.5 hours.
Wow.
13.
Yeah, 13 of them ended up. But they kept piling in more and more and more. And trip. Beautiful, man. They were great cats, too. I had a good time playing over there. It was just out of the blue. I didn't have anything planned for those days, and they got all filled up. I ended up doing all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, Japanese underground music scene I'm into.
Fetching.
We haven't heard of Spin Cycle in a while.
It's time.
It's time, Brother Matt. Cool.
Got some snort.
Large bulls. Thank you. Gone, the nigga. Get raw with my southpaw style. See me get raw with my southpaw style. See me get raw.
Man.
Oh, wow.
Hey. Hey. Come on. Light it up. Let's get Chinese eyes, man.
Hey, you, get off my cloud. See me get raw up my Southpaw style.
Brother Matt, thank you very much for another edition of the Spin Cycle.
Thank you.
Can you enlighten us to what inspired you?
Well, we want to get the snore going there, so that started things off, and then had the request for Gabby, Pahini, Hawaiian Master,
Marty Lyon,
and then we just got fat and started rolling.
Marty was telling us about his outrigging thing. That's Hawaii style.
Very cool.
Good.
Dragon boats.
Still do it?
No, not dragon boats. That's Chinese. Luxury of time kept me away from it. But here's when I heard about Gabby. Right? I was in this. I paddled for 7 years on this teams out here in Long Beach, and
you got to move the fucking. There you go.
I'll just sit right over here. So. The last 2004, the team I was on here in Long Beach, Kalakai, we competed in the Molokai race. The Molokai race is the pinnacle race of this organized outrigger canoeing race. It's a race that goes from Molokai Island to Oahu, and it crosses the Kaibi Channel.
Yeah.
We get like 45-foot swells.
Yeah.
30-foot swells.
It's just a wall.
They come over the canoes at Skirs. So anyway, we competed in this. We, out of 100 teams, there's teams from New Zealand and all over the world. But Tahitians and the Hawaiians always come in the first five places. In fact, Tahitians won that year, I think, 2004. So we came in 60th, you know, not the EFL. We were pretty proud of ourselves. And we were passing canoes, and then as we get around Diamond Head to go right into Duke's Beach there, we got passed.
Waikiki.
Yeah, Waikiki is where the finish line was. Is we got passed through. So we're at this. It's like a 4-hour race, right? For about 40 miles.
And paddling.
And yeah, paddling outrigger canoes. Oh, okay. You know, it's outrigger canoes. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, the beginning of Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah. Well, at the end, yeah, those things. We're just maintaining going, and then zoom, we get passed along the side by these other guys. That was pretty commendable. So we finished the race. We're full of ourselves. A few months later, I have a photo job in Oahu. And the driver of our car, this guy's name is Arby. So I was always sitting in the passenger front. And he's a Teamster. And very, very cool guy. We seem to be about the same age. And I was there for a week. And so, like the second day, I broke out my team T-shirt. You could buy the T-shirts from that race that was there 2 months before. But our T-shirt said crew on it, so the people who participate in the race get these shirts, right? And on that day or the day after, when you at this race, you know, dudes who know about this kind of like, whoa, hey, how's that race? You know, and that stuff. That's how conversations start. So here we are. I'm with this guy Arby, and I was wearing this shirt. He goes, oh, so you paddle the Molokai? I said, yeah, boy, wow, reliving it. I said, have you participated before? He goes, yeah. He goes, I do that. I'm a paddler. He says, we paddled that race. I said, oh, what team are you on? And he said, the name of the team, and it's the team that passed us in the last 3 minutes. I just shut down. I put that shirt away. I put it in the suitcase. And I just, you know, arrows are 2 days telling them about stuff.
Paddling, Marty. Yeah. Marty took me in the outrigging thing in Mother's Harbor kind of thing.
Yes, indeed.
In Long Beach, Alamitos part of Long Beach. And that's what got me going with the kayak.
Everything. Yeah, he started from you.
That was inspiration, man. I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, back at you. So, chain reaction.
Yeah.
You too, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, that was a couple days last week.
Good times. I still got an OC1 now. We have to go now.
Yeah, I have.
Thanks to my friend Anthony who helped me out.
Because I'm afraid to get it out of the boat.
Yeah, you got to get back in.
When I get stronger. I mean, once I'm in the thing, it's all above waist, so I'm not worried, but... I'm doing the bike, half of it.
Yeah.
And Marty's the one who got me into it. And I actually, the only time I flipped over was in one of them fucking outriggers. And outriggers.
They tip very easy.
Very easy. Ones.
And so we've been there the whole, most of the day, and you're doing very good. And so we were going, so I was a little ahead of you, showing like where we were going. I didn't hear from anyone. Hey, I turn around. It's not easy to turn around, you're floating, the thing's upside down. Oh, son of a bitch. So paddle back over and got your boat back up.
All right, but I owe you, Marty. Thank you so much.
Hey,
end of the second hour, November 26, 2010, Watt for Pedro Show, time for hour 3.
Yeah, he just started. Yeah.
November 26, 2010. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Oh, sorry to interrupt you, Coco.
Someone labels you the wet kind, and you're in. Piss, you feel tempted.
Lebowski.
Where is this place?
Boston.
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I think he was from Philly originally, but he's buried here in Pedro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
where D-Boone is.
Yeah. They went to his last birthday party.
Library.
Well, it says, don't try on his gravestone.
There's an exhibit up in
I don't mean to interrupt you, Coco, but we're doing a radio show. Okay, yeah. Third hour. You're invited, you know. You can be the star of the conversation. You don't have to have a little mouse one on the side. And in fact, I'm going to ask you guys something as soon as I get done here. We start off the third hour with Sea Cat by the Dinah Brand. And then Missing or Nothing by Shot Moskva. Irresponsibility by Test Mustard Disco. Consciousness That Was Let Loose by Same Place Empty. And finally, Heaven 11 by Avalanche. Talia,
mm-hmm.
Julie, Coco, you have a band.
Oh, yeah, we've been practicing. We had our first practice the other day.
Our first practice all together. We've been practicing.
So. Dark Sunshine? Is that the secret name?
That's our temporary name. That's just something
ain't
to
so
keep
secret
us going.
Now.
Dark Sunshine.
You'll behave on a fucking radio show. No, no. Whose idea was it? All three, same time?
Yeah.
Was there nobody was instigator?
Well, there's a lot of instigations. Like I had a wanting to learn drums because there's another band that needed a drummer, and I really feel like I have the beat, you know, like I could do it.
She does.
You never played drums before?
I can. No.
She's the natural. She has it.
I got the beat. Well, I used to be a rapper, you know, so I can chill on the beat, you know.
Rapping needs rhythm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Of course. So you bought yourself a drum set?
No, not yet. I don't have a drum set. I'm still
in the
league.
Oh, so are you playing now?
Dennis's.
Yeah.
Okay.
On 24?
Yeah, yeah.
He has a drum set, and he's
so got everything
you're
borrowing one.
Yeah.
You're borrowing.
Yeah.
And then, Julie?
Hi.
Yeah, what are you on?
Yes.
What are you on?
Oh, I'm on bass.
Bass.
And she's really good, too. She's a natural.
So what got you on bass? Were you a rapper?
No, I was never a rapper. Just, I guess, in the shower, and that's about it.
In the shower?
No.
With the bass?
No, a rapper in the shower.
Oh, no, no, but I'm talking about bass. What got
shower,
you in the bass?
I've always been interested in bass.
Really?
I like Jaco.
Oh,
I like I love the sound of the bass, the feel of a bass.
Yeah, yeah. Do you borrow one, or do you have one?
I have one. Yes, it was given to me as a gift, and...
Oh, so you have to play it.
So I've...
No.
I've been playing it, but never...
You wanted to play it, and what, somebody got hip to you wanting to play it and gave it to you for a present?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
It was a birthday present.
The enabler.
Yeah,
and then Talia is also another
neighbor. I'm trying to get her out of her shell. Like she's really talented, but she's so shy. And once she gets started, she's in the zone. She's really good.
Talia is the third member, and you play.
I'm playing keyboards.
Yeah. Okay, so it's keyboard, bass, and drum, like my second man.
Mm-hmm.
We just did a Germ song for a tribute album. Yeah. We did one for Seeds album, too. I like organ-based drum trio.
Yeah.
I always, when I was young and I heard Sister Ray by Velvet Underground, I always wanted organ band, but organs cost so much money, we never knew anybody with an organ.
Till Mazich.
Till Pete Mazich.
Yeah.
Who, like, built his.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, he's quite a man. And he's got a studio happening. That's where we recorded. Casa Hanzo. They're up on Patton in 25th, 26th. And he's a great guy. And Jerry Trepetich on drums.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Trepetich was the drummer of the band I first saw Talia sing for, called Linus.
Yeah. I love Linus.
Many years ago.
That was Jer.
Jer's doing good.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raising kids.
Yeah, and working on the dock with Pete.
There you go.
And I'm going to write him a new album. Not an opera, but kind of concept. D-Boom would love this. Work. Pedro guys.
Cool.
with Pedro guys, Longshoreman. And next year sometime I'll do it. We'll do it at Casanzo. Because when I got to record, I put the second men together for the second opera, and I recorded in Pedro at Karma. Remember, yeah, there was a studio. Yeah. Somebody's in there now selling clothes. I think it's Mike Brady.
Oh, it's a fish tank.
It's called Bad Fish.
Bad Fish, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's but that?
Down where Karma was.
Oh, really?
Sixth Street.
Yeah. Remember that studio that was on Sixth Street? Yeah. They moved to Poughkeepsie.
Does Mike Brady still have his place on 7th Street?
No, he's moved now to the Karma Studio building and has something called Bad Fish or something.
Well, it's like a t-shirt shop and an aquarium shop, right?
It's a t-shirts and aquariums?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it said
cool.
Clothes on the sign out front.
Yeah, and they also have records, too.
And records.
Be a terrible name for a restaurant, huh?
Chow pad. So you guys have just started the band, so you're writing songs now.
Yeah.
This interesting part of a band's life is right at the beginning.
Yes.
You can't do it twice. So are you recording?
We're going to record our next practice.
Okay.
On Wednesday.
What about gigs?
Not until we have songs.
Yeah.
Good idea.
First step.
Because when I saw Linus, I don't think you had any songs.
No, we made it up.
You guys just jammed,
yeah.
Right?
Wow. It was magical.
Well, you know Damo Suzuki. He was the second singer for Can. This cat tours with no band.
Really?
He lives in Germany, you know, where Can was.
Yeah.
And he came over from Japan and just started living there. And then after the band, he just started touring with
local folk.
Whoever's, in the towns. And then he starts the gig off with his singing, and they follow him. And
so it was the reverse of Chuck Berry, who shows up alone and has a backing band.
Right, but they're expected to know all his songs.
Yeah,
exactly. But Damo's got
reverse.
No. He's jamming. He's making it up on the moment. It's pretty incredible. I saw him do it with Omar from at the drive-in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just played Australia,
and it was really incredible.
Omar. His new thing at Great American Music.
What was it like? He's a very interesting guitarist.
Yeah, he's a good guitar player, but I kind of still, At the Drive-In is it for me. I like At the Drive-In. I like Mars Volta, but I still like At the Drive-In better.
Yeah.
For some reason.
So you're going to get some songs together,
mm-hmm.
And then do the gigs. Okay, I got to play with you.
Yes.
And then you got to.
Tom Watson said he'd play with us.
I think the West Coast Swing for your new opera might be good for these girls.
Yes.
Let's tour.
Yeah.
Sorry, Watt, put you on the spot, but
it would be an honor.
Start touring. I think the way I'm planning it, it's going to be 50 gigs in 51 days.
Wow. No way, really?
How many?
Pinchy way.
Well, how about fucking Spyro's
71 and 73.
Wow.
No, it was 71 and 73.
73, yes.
56
that
in a row.
That
was in 91, I think.
No crybabies on that tour.
No, no princesses.
Let's hear some more music.
Well, he started out as a princess. He came back a man.
I'm not afraid. Gone fire.
Mark from Pedro Show. You just heard Railhead by Fluke. Before that, we had Yori Yo-Yo by Oru Taichi. Then Searching by the Lumdies. We played some of them last week. They are great, man. They were a trip. Sapporo band. Marty, you had something to say about that chicken trip?
The chitlins tour.
No, the chicken. Chicken.
No, what I was remembering was after the Fillmore show, it ended that night, and we were all coming back home from San Francisco. So my bus and George and my pal fucking Bonnie here says, I ain't driving with those guys. Let's get in your car. I said, all right, let's go. So this is right after the show, right? And Sonic Youth was headlining, so you guys were on and then you were off. So yeah. It's like midnight or so. And so George says, well, I'll take the first shift driving. Okay, so he's driving my bus. I'm sitting passenger side, and Richie's back there in the back of my car sleeping in the sleeping bag. I figured, okay, you know, he had a rough tow, so you can sleep it off. I'll take the next hitch, and then Richie will maybe take the third leg. So George gets us out of San Francisco, and it's midnight, and we're driving and driving about the first tank, half a tank. We pull over, gas station, gas up, fill up. George gets his coffee and there's something to eat. It's my turn. I'm driving. Richie's still in the, knocked out in the back. The whole time when George is driving, I'm keeping him awake, you know, talking and chit-chatting and stuff like that. Now it's about 1:30 in the morning, and now it's my leg, and I'm driving, and George is eating his food, and then he says, okay, well, I'm good. I'm going to check out. And he goes to sleep. Now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I got two guys sleeping in my car, and I'm driving. I'm going to wake.
Meat wagon.
I just...
You don't know how many gigs from Hollywood I had to do that.
Ridiculous.
I'd be driving and there'd be 3 miles like... worshiping the sky. You know, I swear I'd be... turning around. One time I saw a lady, she jumped off an overpass and she had broken her neck and was all twisted in the thing. I screamed and then they all woke up. I was the only one who saw it. Yeah, a lot of the times I know exactly... your exact place.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, well, okay, well, George, you know, between these two guys, well, George probably needs to check out because he's just got done wailing. Yeah. This guy, Richie, has just been sleeping. Hey, you know, wake
George
up,
did what,
him.
A good solid hour?
Yeah. Right. This guy's been out for 2 hours. Richie, fucking Bonnie, wake up and talk to me at least, you know, and it's like 2:30 in the morning and I'm just as tired as everybody else. So I said, this is ridiculous. I started weaving, so I pull off.
Yeah,
and I find him like in this lettuce patch, you know, it's like, you know, Fresno or something,
yeah.
And I just conk out too, way off the road. I wake up and it's like the daylight wakes me up. Whoa! And George gets all cranky. Hey, we gotta go home. Yeah, well, yeah. So I finish the ride home, and we get home. I drop their butts off, and I get home, and I go like right to the lab to drop off the film I shot, just bleary eyed. But the girl who was at the I'm friends with, who works at the lab at the other side of the counter, you know, and she looks pretty distressed, you know. And says, and I said, well, I know. I told her, I said, I know I look really bad right now, but what's wrong with you? And she says, you didn't hear about the big earthquake? And it was this one that happened in, it was either the Whittier one or the, yeah, it must have been the Whittier one that just shut everything down. And I just thought that was really ironic that here we drive back from San Francisco back into Los Angeles and leave Earthquake City and we come back to L.A. and
yeah.
Town's falling down.
We were in one.
We were in one.
We started the first day of a tour. I think it was the Engage in the Milker tour.
Yeah. All the way
to fire hose in the first gig. The only time I seen that city blacked out.
San Francisco?
We still played. We found a gig in Cupertino. We played with a band called Helen Keller Plaid.
Wow.
They're kind of a ska band.
Makes sense.
And they got us this gig in some like really square John kind of place, and but
cool
we didn't
party.
Lose the gig. Mm-hmm. And I remember driving the next night, the fire was still burning in the marina.
Yeah, the marina, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I feel them all the time.
That was the only lights. We were going through San Jose. We were coming up through US 152 or something, and it was in Watsonville's Los Gatos, so we were right over at night. And I remember seeing the power lines whipping around, but there was no... I said, man, there's some big wind, but there's nothing buffeting the boat.
Yeah.
But it's curvy road, so we didn't feel, crazy.
Yeah, unless it's 4.0 and over.
They were having that World Series.
Yeah.
And remember, it was the A's and Giants.
The A's and Giants.
In Oakland.
Bay Bridge Series, yeah.
And now let's hear some more music. You know, this is kind of sad, but one of the songs I'm going to play next is for a guy who just passed away. His name was Peter Christopherson, or his nickname was Sleazy. He was one of the founding members of Throbbing Gristle. And he also did album covers.
Yeah.
The Hypnosis was a company, like the Pink Floyd things, the man shaking the man on fire.
Oh, yeah, that's
on
fire. That's very famous. At the sound stages.
And I got to meet him once. They were playing it. They got back together, and it was one of those Altamara parties.
And, did he just do the last Throbbing Gristle tour?
He had lost his partner. Bad thing. And so he ended up in Bangkok, and that's where he passed away a couple of days ago. So this is for him. Okay, Watt from Pedro Show. We just heard Coil with the Last Amethyst Deceiver, and that's Sleazy. Project he was he had gone with his guy. Sad he's gone because he's quite a creative cat. Before that, we had Gecko no Kino Shita De by Wakina, which is those cats I got to record with 2 weeks ago in Tokyo. It's been a great show. Thank you so much for coming aboard here to Love Grotto.
Cool. Thank you, Brother Matt.
Nice to see you.
Thank you, Mike Watt.
Marty Lyon.
Michael, thank you very much.
Yeah, and our coming up musicians, Daya, Coco, Julie.
Thank you.
Dark Sunshine. And Brother Matt, always for your much needed.
It's a pleasure.
I'm very grateful.
Cool.
It's been the November 26, 2010, Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.